Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church Podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me, as always, is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
Ted and I are in the middle of a series about the fourfold gospel, a key tenet of Alliance theology. Today, we're focused on the third pillar, healing. We talk about how and why God still heals people today. And we respond to a passage from Matthew 8. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 23. It is summertime, Ted.
It's summertime. It's hot.
The summer months are a little different. What are the summer months like at Zephyr Hills Alliance Church?
Zephyr Hills, the land of milk and honey. But the summer months are, there's the children going to Lake Swan Camp, and our youth are going to a youth conference in Indianapolis in July.
Yeah.
But as far as the other cycle, our children's ministry takes a break during the summer. Snowbirds go back north, so everybody, it's ministry is maintaining more than just ratcheting up to get excited about doing some new venture.
That's true. We don't usually announce new things in the summer because a lot of our regular folks are back up north.
Some of them, go back north to enjoy the northern climate for a couple months. If you're from Maine, you only get maybe 1 month, or they say 2 months.
It's when we take our staff vacations as well. So it's checking the calendar to see, okay, make sure all the Sundays are covered, make sure all the weekdays are covered.
Yeah.
You have vacation plans?
We do this year. We have vacation plans. We're going to go see my daughter and her family in Colorado. So that we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
What do you about Colorado? You've been, several times before,
several times. Well, the first time that I went, I was amazed over just the variety of creation. Mm-hmm. Being a Florida boy, it's pretty much, in Florida, you have beaches and it's flat.
Yeah.
And you go up north, like in New York, you've got more mountainous, you get the fall leaves and you get to experience winter. But the west, when you're in Colorado, you've got all the mountains and the mesas. It's just beautiful. And I came away from that first experience in Colorado saying, how can anyone not believe in God when you see the vast variety of creation that he made?
Yeah.
So
you guys are going out for a week?
Going out for a week. And so we're looking forward to it.
Actually, by the time this airs, you will have already gone and come back. So how was it?
It was great. Yeah. And I would say, I wish I could have kept my family with me the whole time. That's just kind of how I feel. Blessed to have the time off and time to get refreshed as well.
So we've been talking about the fourfold gospel.
Fourfold.
Key theological tenet of the Alliance.
That's right.
And
not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Today, we've already covered, so far we've covered the first one, which is?
Jesus Christ, our Savior.
That's right. And then the second one?
Our Sanctifier.
And today we're on number three, which is?
Our Healer.
Jesus Christ is our Healer.
Hallelujah.
Healing is an important practice in the church. So the Alliance emphasizes healing through the fourfold gospel as one of the key ideas what we're supposed to experience in the church.
Yeah, if we had a four-legged chair, each leg would be Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, Coming King kind of thing.
Yeah, not every denomination would put healing that high, I guess, on the list of things that
That's
we're
true.
Supposed to be experiencing as believers. I don't think there's a denomination that completely disagrees with the idea of healing. There's just different levels of emphasis, I would say. And perhaps there's denominations that emphasize healing even more than the Alliance. But we're definitely one that sets healing apart as this important practice for the church. What's been your experience with that emphasis of healing in the Alliance?
For myself personally, growing up, Christian Missionary Alliance, it's always been part of our practice. And usually in worship services, they'll serve communion, and then after they serve communion, they'll invite people forward who need prayer for healing and divine healing, which is God moving physically, God moving spiritually, God moving emotionally, healing. I remember when I was new in ministry and I had one of my very first communion services that I was conducting, the church where I was serving at, that was their practice. They would have communion, and then after communion, we would call for the elders to come. So the first communion that I was kind of leading, we did that practice, and a lady came forward, and she was scheduled to have surgery that following. This was Sunday, and she was supposed to have surgery like on Tuesday or Wednesday. And so she asked for prayer and anointing, and so we did pray, ask God to touch her and heal her. And the following Sunday, she was in church, and she raised her hand, and she could hardly keep seated. She says, "Pastor, I've just got to say, I went forward last week and asked God to heal me, and I went in to have surgery, and they just checked everything, and then they had to recheck it again and recheck it again. They said, 'Ma'am, you don't need surgery at all.' And I was completely healed." So that was kind of awesome. Great to hear that testimony.
James 5, yes. 14, it yes. says, "Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven." That's James 5, 14 and 15. And that's what I think the Alliance takes in terms of direction for the practice of healing.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, and CNMA believes divine healing is a privilege. It's up to God if he's going to heal that individual or not. And sometimes God does healing through modern medicine. Sometimes God does healing outside of modern medicine and does many miracles that way. But the Alliance practices that. Some people believe in Christianity today that the miracles that took place in the New Testament, especially with Jesus and the Acts of the Apostle, that was just significant for the church being birthed at that time, which is true, absolutely true. And then they feel that that set the church apart and that healing is not occurring today like that. I would disagree with that strongly because of hearing testimonies of people who have been healed by the Lord and then my own experience of walking through that healing journey.
Yeah, exactly. We have experiences. And I think one of the things Simpson says in his argument is that testimonies are great, but the reason that we believe in healing is because it's in Scripture. And so he really elevates that idea.
Coming out of the passage in Isaiah, you know, "By his stripes we are healed."
Yeah.
And that Lord took upon himself all our infirmities. And because he did that, we have that privilege to go to him with all our needs, especially physical healing.
You were starting to talk about this earlier, just before, but why does God heal?
Yeah, I think God heals to demonstrate his glory and his goodness. And I think he also does that to increase the individual's faith and dependence upon him. He has lessons for us to learn as he shapes us and molds us to become more like Jesus. So sometimes infirmities like Job, suffering, but God is in the business not to punish us, but he wants to shape us and mold our character. Sometimes it's to give a greater testimony of his work in our life.
Yeah, I think there's an idea in Scripture when miracles happen, signs and wonders, it's often called, signs and wonders, and, and include healings, that the purpose of those of healings is to bring God glory, but it's really to bring people to faith.
Yes.
So the healing of this person's infirmity is maybe seen as secondary to bringing people into the kingdom, right? This idea that it was just for the purpose of a sign, or was primarily for the purpose of a sign, kind of like for evangelism in that way, getting people to the truth. But then there's this other idea that healing is the privilege, the blessing of the believer within the church.
Mm-hmm.
So there's maybe one kind of healing that takes place at a big camp meeting, because we're trying to get down to, well, why? What's the reason? You know, because sometimes people aren't healed. So when God does choose to heal, why? Sometimes people would say, well, it's for evangelism. Other people would say, no, it's the, like what we read about in James there, is the privilege of the children of God. And yeah, it does increase our dependence on him. And of course, it's still for his glory. But it's also this thing that, it's like a blessing or a privilege for belonging to the church, this divine healing that
gives. And I think it's up to the followers of Christ, and we come with our needs before him at the altar. we are humble and we're broken and we're asking for God to do his work, his way in our life, in his timing, for his glory. God may not choose to heal, but he has a greater purpose in that. I remember Johnny Erickson and her testimony. You know, she was injured and paralyzed, and she'd go to these healing services by prominent people, longing, wanting, aching, craving for God to heal her. And others that were with her, they didn't get healed, you know, and it almost seemed like, oh, is there a counterfeit happening, you know, of healing? The enemy comes along and he's trying to deceive and destroy and cause division and doubt. But I believe if you are a child of God walking in faith, just longing for God's will to be done in your life, regardless how that plays out physically, you're just trusting yourself completely in the hands of your Father. God's going to work. Now, the way he works may not be to our expectation or our liking at the moment, because he's going to teach us some deeper truth or mold us to be like his Son. You know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, it hit me hard, and I really had to do a lot of soul searching. And I went before the Lord, and I just came to the conclusion, I don't know the outcome, Lord. I want you to heal me, however that plays out in my life. But if you use this to take me home to be with you, to God be the glory, I pray that you will just help me to be a witness to whomever I meet through this process. And God was very gracious in those days, because I determined I'm going to share Jesus with every person in the medical field that I meet. I'm going to tell them, hey, well, I love Jesus. Trusting's going to heal me. How about you? You know, that kind of thing. And that spoke to me, well, God's going to take care of me. He's got this. And so we just trust him for that.
Yeah. And I like the idea of building trust. I also just think, if we just think like just the concrete where the rubber meets the road, a lot of people wrestle with this idea because they aren't healed. Like the passage says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well.
Right.
And then when that doesn't happen, immediately they're like, okay, well, then I didn't have enough faith. Or is it the elders who are supposed to have more faith?
Yeah.
Like, so have a prayer offered in faith. I don't know which, if it's the elders' faith or my faith, but they end up starting to be like, why didn't it happen?
Yes.
And we can say all day long, well, there's lots of other things that are going on, and God wants to do this and God wants to do that. And all that's true. Like, God wants to increase your dependence on him and your trust in him, your devotion to him and your connection to him. And God wants to give you opportunities to minister to medical staff
to
like he did. Right. And there's all other reasons that, like, hundreds of reasons that we won't know and can't know. But I definitely have met with people that that doesn't satisfy them at all. They're they're like, okay, it says I'd be healed, and I wasn't.
Right.
So either it's not true, or I've done something wrong. Like, there's basically the two things that
they walk away. Yeah. And it's easy to do that because you doubt God's ability to heal.
Yeah.
Or you doubt the church. You know, it is a question of my faith, but it's also a question of release. Mm-hmm. Okay. And trusting. And I know we say that, but it's hard to do that, trusting in the sovereignty of God. You know, we have that little saying, God's got this. Well, does God really got this? Or we're just saying that? Mm-hmm. Am I really trusting him? Our trust in God, God is supporting us through every circumstance. If we're a child of his, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he will support us through that process. That doesn't mean we're going to immediately come to Jesus and we're going to walk on rose petals. There is that prayer that Paul, the apostle, prayed, says to the Philippians, you know, I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I'd say every believer wants to know that, man. I want that resurrection power.
Yeah.
I want that power of resurrection. But then the next phrase, I also want to be a partaker of his sufferings, or I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, I want to embrace the sufferings of Christ in such a way that my life will bring praise and glory to God. None of us like suffering.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you come across individuals who may have, and they'll be the first to say, I don't have a handle on this because I don't like suffering. But they're able to have a sweet spirit about them of endurance and a sweet testimony of the Savior. I remember visiting a gal in the emergency room, an older gal, and she had just had a stroke And I came in the emergency room as pastor, as her pastor, and I was coming in. And as I came, she was kind of laying down in the bed that they had her there. But when she saw me, she almost sprung up and her eyes just lit up. And as best as she could talk, because her speech was slurred, but she said, "Pastor, I'm so thankful and grateful to see you. I've been praying for you." Wait a minute, time out. I'm supposed to be here to pray for you, and you're praying for me to be strengthened. That gal had a moment of confidence in God, and he's got this.
Yeah.
And whether the outcome, now she did recover. And
there's a selflessness,
overcome,
right? There's a selflessness, I think, that is evidence of your connection to God in those kind of moments. I also think another side of it is, I think of people who like struggle with chronic pain and issues that are not terminal, but they're also like never going away.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for them to keep asking for healing when it doesn't happen. It can be a lot easier to just accept, well, this is the way God wants me to suffer, as opposed to ask for healing, because if you ask for healing and it doesn't happen, you might be let down. You might
be disappointed. Absolutely. I think there has to be that resolution in your asking. We have to bring our petitions before the Lord, that constant asking. And yes, I think emotionally, because we're all real, we're going to get frustrated with God. And I think God's big enough to handle that frustration. But I think he wants us to keep asking. The Apostle Paul, he had that thorn in the flesh. But what did God say to Paul? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." So sometimes God allows us to have that chronic pain. And man, you know, if I prayed this, "Lord, it'd be great if you could just take this away from me. You know, how much I could serve you better, how I could feel better, I'd have more energy." The Lord sometimes reminds me, "Ted, my grace is sufficient." I think he wants to have us ask him, but to keep asking. And in the midst of our asking, not to lose heart, not to lose faith, not to give up.
Well, that's the challenging part.
And that's the challenging part. But to keep asking and then let the outcome be his. Because isn't it interesting when people do get healed, they're surprised. Or we hear about a healing and they're surprised.
Sure.
And I think that's to help us increase our faith, to keep trusting, keep praying, keep seeking. And in fact, you know, when Jesus went through it, when Jesus prayed, he prayed in the garden, "Lord, let this cup pass from me," what he's about to go through with the crucifixion. But what did he say? "Not my will, but your will be done." And I think the Lord wants us to embrace that as best we can.
I like the prayer of the three men who are going to be thrown into the fire as a model. Like, hey, God has the power to save us, but whether he does or not,
that's right,
this is the God we worship. And like having that sort of a foundation of faith and trusting him with the outcome, kind of like you're talking about. Matthew 8:5-17. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, 'Go,' and they go, or 'Come,' and they come. And if I say to my slaves, 'Do this,' they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. And when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her, and she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." This scripture demonstrates a lot of things about healing, But the primary thing I think it demonstrates is that God is willing to heal us. Healing was a big part of Jesus's ministry. And, you know, he could have done other kinds of miracles, and he did.
Sure.
But why did he heal? I think it was meeting people at the point of need.
Yes.
And, you know, in the first story, we see he was responding to faith. In Peter's mother-in-law's case, it doesn't say anything about her faith. It just said, you know, he just cared about her, and he touched her and healed her. The demon-possessed people that came, casting out spirits with a simple command, he took our sickness and removed our diseases, is a line from Isaiah.
Yes.
You quoted earlier, too, by his stripes we are healed.
Yes.
When I think about healing, I like to look at what Jesus did and how he approached it, and just remember that this was important to him. It was important to him to heal people. And this is the same Jesus that we believe in today, you know,
yes,
that is
absolutely
living and moving today. And so that desire for healing is still there, regardless of what sort of medical things we've come up with or
right,
whatever else, you know.
Right. Well, I think there is that natural order of things that God has placed, and he's allowed man the ability to discover medicines that help bring healing. God has allowed that. And through that, God does heal in that sense. God also does divine healing. You know, we have stories from missionaries who have served over in other countries, and God has miraculously healed people, and they were able to, the lame was able to walk and so forth. God does that healing his way for his glory and his timing, and he has a greater purpose. We have to remember, as a follower of the Lord, God may reveal to us the purpose and the plan, but we also have to recognize that God is sovereign. He's in control, and he knows what's best. You know, that this Roman officer, who did he have faith in? He had faith in Christ, and then he had faith in Christ's authority.
Yeah.
We think, well, if I believe enough, I can achieve it. I can be healed. We're putting it on ourselves instead of saying, okay, Father, I know that healing is a privilege from you through Christ, and by his stripes we are healed. He's removed our diseases. I'm asking you to heal me according to your will and your plan. There comes a sense of peace and a sense of assurance and confidence that God is at work. In our culture, we like to have it our way, my way, my timing, and so forth.
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge for folks who haven't experienced that healing, who have asked for it and not experienced it, that sometimes it can be, well, okay, we want it our way. And other times it's just, well, I want it God's way. It's not happening.
Yeah.
So why isn't it God's will for me to be healed? And that's a question that we don't always have a good answer to.
Yeah.
The only thing that we can say, like, we could say maybe this, maybe that. Somehow it's better for you to stay sick.
Right.
Okay, that doesn't sound great. So it's better for me to be in pain? All right. And the truth is that God is sovereign, and we don't know fully. I think just to counsel people to try to remain in intimate fellowship with God. Try to continue.
Stay connected to Jesus in the process. Keep asking the Lord for that blessing, that gift of healing. Maybe you're afraid. You haven't gone to the elders. You might think, oh man, my pain is not important enough.
Sure.
Or I've been dealing with it too long. And it's okay to ask to come to the elders and be anointed for that. God does work. He cares. You know, do not worry about what you'll eat or drink. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him, but he loves to hear his children ask. So I'd say ask. The other thing that I've come to understand, when you lose somebody to death and you love them and you've lost them, you are now able to come alongside someone else whom you've never met before, who's lost a loved one, and you can comfort them. You're able to empathize with them. You're able to walk beside them. You might not say a word. You may say a few words, or you just may cry with them, or you just may listen with them, but you're able to walk alongside them because you've experienced that. Paul says we're able to comfort those with God's comfort because we've experienced something like they're experiencing. So sometimes that is part of his plan, that we as a body and community love one another like Jesus loves us.
Yeah, and then in that way, the circumstances are maturing us and growing us.
Yes.
You know, sickness and death are just a part of existence. They're part of being human. They always have been. Everyone just about has died.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Well,
it's just a reality.
Yeah.
And that's important to recognize that, like, when you become a Christian, that doesn't erase that reality. It doesn't change that. But sometimes there is a supernatural intervention
yes
into what is the norm. The norm is that we get sick and we die. And sometimes God intervenes.
Yes.
And we don't die of the thing that should have killed us, or we're made well of a thing that is an infirmity. The normal thing that happened is you get sick and you die.
You get sick and die.
But the, what it says is that he delivered us from sin and death.
Mm.
And I think Simpson and others extrapolate out from the idea of death, sickness, you know. So both from the spiritual consequences of our fallenness and the physical consequences of our fallenness, which is sin and death, the results of the fall. Just like we believe Jesus has forgiven us of our sins and delivers us from the power of sin.
Yes.
We also believe he has delivered us from the power of death. And mostly what that means is resurrection and eternal life. We're still going to die.
Yes.
And we're going to be raised to life.
Yes.
But also, there's a sense in which that means, and I think that's what we see him doing in the Gospels, demonstrating his power over death in the way of his power over sickness and infirmity. Yeah. This is something that we can ask him for and something that we can believe for. And there's all kinds of reasons why it happens or doesn't happen. And that's a really long conversation, and probably none of us can really fully have it.
That's true.
Because there's too many facets. But if we can anchor ourselves in the fact that he has delivered us from sin and death, so that ultimately, even if that sickness takes us, or even if that sickness isn't healed on this side of eternity, we have faith in the healing that is to come.
Yeah. I've had individuals tell me that we'll be healed regardless, either this side of heaven or eternity, or the other side with the Lord when we see him, because we're going to have new bodies and so forth. God has a plan and a purpose. And if we're breathing on this side of eternity, he's got a plan and purpose for you. So don't lose hope.
Thanks for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here. And we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts for this show, as well as our daily devotionals and other podcasts we make. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media team. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.